Well, first, low hydro lake levels and soaring wholesale electricity prices are causing some businesses to temporarily shut down operations, and more will follow, according to the major electricity users group. Data from energy consultancy firm Energy Link shows wholesale power prices are nearly 7 times higher than they were a year ago, at $314.44 per megawatt hour, and they've reached as high as $500 per megawatt hour in the past fortnight. The Norske Skog paper mill in Kawerau shut production for 2 weeks recently because of the high electricity cost, and New Zealand Steel is to scale down its operations at its site in Glenbrook for the same reason. The Minister for Energy and Resources, Megan Woods, has acknowledged higher prices are impacting businesses, and the Electricity Authority is conducting a review of the wholesale market. The government has promised that New Zealand's electricity will be renewably generated by 2030 and is exploring the idea of pumped hydroelectric scheme at Lake Onslow, which it says could be the solution to dry years, but it will be a year before even the first phase of that investigation is complete. The major electricity users group represents some of New Zealand's largest industrial companies, which collectively employ many thousands of people. Its chair is John Harbert. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So wholesale energy price is now 7 times higher than just a year ago. What is the impact on your members?
Well, the impact's very significant. For major industrial manufacturers, electricity is one of the top two or three costs that their businesses face. And as you said, the wholesale price that they purchase at, or many of them purchase at, is extremely high. And to put it in some context, the Interim Climate Change Committee, when it was examining options going forward, said that a wholesale electricity price of between $115 and $125 a megawatt hour was unsustainable and unaffordable for New Zealand as a country.
And we're now at 3 times that.
We're now at almost three times that.
Well, we've been at 3 times that. What has been the practical response of some companies? Some have literally shuttered operations for a period.
Yeah, so if you look at Whakatane Mill, recently closed permanently to a large degree because of couldn't operate because of high electricity prices. As you mentioned, Norske Skog closed for a fortnight because it couldn't afford to operate. And we're talking here about a company that, you know, its primary product is newsprint. And as we all know, you know, demand for newspapers has sort of gone down into the digital age. And they'd shifted production into packaging a bit. And they were sort of actually making some good money again and looking at sort of trading out in terms into a better future. And right when their demand's increasing, they've had to close. You mentioned also New Zealand Steel closed some of its operations for a limited period of time because it couldn't afford to operate. And again, you know, demand for steel is extremely high. You know, we've gone in situation globally is a lot of countries like New Zealand have responded to the economic slowdown because of COVID by investing in infrastructure. So globally, we're in a position of steel shortage because countries are consuming the steel that they produce. So the domestic demand for New Zealand steel to produce steel to supply the New Zealand domestic market is extremely strong. So it's one of the best times to be making steel. They've had to close some of their operations because they can't afford to run.
So it's that big a cost that even though demand is surging and everything says produce, the cost of electricity is that high, actually we're going to pause.
Yes, absolutely.
Are there others to follow?
Well, I think the risk is that we end up with more examples like Whakatane Mill, where businesses permanently close because they can't afford to operate.
Can we talk about steel, actually, from the perspective we're talking about at the moment? Because the other thing that's happening is the interruption to the supply chain. And again, if you're trying to import steel at the moment, how difficult is that?
Yeah, so the lead in time for importing steel used to be around 8 weeks from the time you ordered it to the time it turned up. It is now over 8 months, and that's if you can get it at all. So if you wanted to import steel to, say, fix the Auckland Harbour Bridge, which happened recently, you know, you've got to wait potentially 8 months just to get the steel in before you can start that work. Now, in that case, New Zealand Steel was able to meet that need with a bespoke order, and they supplied it within days. But yeah, if you can't import steel, you've got one supplier, and if they can't afford to operate, then a lot of our infrastructure, you know, at the moment there are building supplies that you simply can't get because there's not enough steel to make them.
Why are these big users so exposed to the spot price? Why don't companies hedge?
Yeah, so hedges, there's two ways of looking at that, Catherine. One is hedges, at the moment, if you're going into the market to buy a hedge, which is sort of essentially a form of insurance against adverse outcomes being produced by the market, you know, you're being offered a hedge at the moment, or the next round of hedges will be offered at about $200 to $300 a megawatt hour.
So the hedge goes up because you've just had a peak, right?
Exactly. So if you can't afford the hedge.
Can't they hedge 12 months ahead?
Yeah, so at the moment, if you were if you wanted to go buy a hedge, you know, you'd be offered the hedge at $200 to $300 a megawatt hour, and you have to lock that price in for several years.
But wouldn't you be looking at it, say, in the middle of a wet winter, and saying, "Why don't I hedge ahead in case it's dry summer?"
Yeah.
Because there was a dry summer forecast.
Yeah.
So some do that, some don't.
Yeah. The thing is, from a practical point of view, the hedge is sort of a rolling thing that you do, and so most of the large manufacturers in New Zealand have hedges, but you sort of have to wait till your existing hedge expires before you renew it. You can't just go and buy a whole lot of electricity you wouldn't be using.
So it's not the entire answer?
Absolutely not.
Why have prices gone so high?
Well, it's a difficult question to answer, and we don't have the full picture. There's certainly strong elements of it are shortages of gas and the low hydro lake levels, both North Island and South Island. But those two factors alone don't give you the full answer. You know, what we do tend to do in those situations is we compensate by generating from thermal sources, primarily coal. The cost of generating from coal is about $125 a megawatt hour. So even if you're compensating for a lack of water by burning coal to generate electricity,
price is going up.
The price is about $125.
Plus we're importing coal at the moment as well, actually, to do so. Right.
But if the price in the wholesale market's $250, $300, but the cost of generating it's still only about $125. That doesn't obviously give you the full picture.
So you're left asking why it's gone this high, even though it's a dry year.
Exactly. And from our point of view, there's a real question around competition in the wholesale market, in the generation space. So the generators generate the electricity, sell it into the wholesale market. And what we've seen is, you know, as recently as December last year, the Electricity Authority, which is the market regulator, found that Meridian had been conducting what they call an undesirable trading situation, where they had been deliberately not generating electricity to keep the price high.
They've been spilling, in fact.
Yeah, they've been spilling it rather than generating electricity because it would lower price.
Okay. That finding came through in December and was reported in December, and we heard lots of responses to it from the company as well. This is part of the problem. This is a very opaque industry. Mm. It's a very complex industry to be able to point at something and say, how was this cost reached? What happened to the Electricity Authority, I thought, reviewing the functioning of the wholesale market full stop, which I understand is now happening? What happened to plans to do that more than a year ago?
Yeah, so the Electricity Authority had announced it was going to conduct a review, and the day after they announced they were going to do the review, the application for the undesirable trading situation arrived on their door.
Which was the smaller, from memory, it was the smaller retail companies.
Yeah, and some OG Fibre Solutions, so there are manufacturing producers in the mix there
so
as
So some
well.
Of the big companies were party to that
yes.
as well. So did they get diverted to looking at that specific issue?
Exactly. And what we've seen is, recently at sort of the annual electricity sector conference we call Downstream last month, the Electricity Authority announced that they're restarting that review, and they've broadened its scope. So now it is actually looking at the electricity market structures as well as the performance of the wholesale market.
We've looked at those structures before, though, in previous reviews as well. And, you know, I guess the reason this is such an issue is twofold. One, as you point out, we need these producers at the moment because the global supply chain is in trouble in all sorts of areas that we need supply from. I'm curious, too, as to how we compare with the likes of Australia on these costs, because it's not beyond companies to say we'll just cross the ditch and produce from there. Are we competitive on price with electricity? We ought to be, given the amount of renewables we've got, but are we?
The short answer to that, Catherine, is no. So if you were buying on the wholesale electricity market in Australia, now it varies by state, and caveat it that, you know, Australia has some different circumstances to New Zealand, but the wholesale electricity price in New Zealand is up to four times as high as it is in Australia.
At all times or at a time like this?
So I'm just looking at sort of the last several months.
But in a dry, so-called dry year situation, we're that far behind in competition.
Well, Australia's pretty dry too, so.
Yeah.
So what we see is, when we're talking to some of the members of our organisation who are multinational companies, they have operating plants around the world. New Zealand has some of, if not the most expensive wholesale electricity in the world. And as you say, we have an abundance of hydro and renewable electricity. So it's very hard for us to understand why, when you have an abundance of generation there, we're so expensive.
The second part of why this matters so much is what the projection is for demand for the first time in many, many years. I'll come back to that, because there's one elephant in the room here. There's one company that's doing just fine on its wholesale electricity price at the moment, and that's DY Point. Because it has a fixed deal and it's taking something like 13% of the country's total electricity supply. Are they a member, by the way?
Yes,
they are a member. How does everyone else feel about that?
Well, I mean, it's for Rio Tinto, they locked in a long-term contract because they have, you know, they have predictable demand that they know they need, so they can lock in a long-term contract. And their demand is so high. So to put it in perspective, the aluminium smelter at TY Point consumes as much electricity as all of residential Auckland. So they need the security of that supply to remain in operation, because you can't just flick the switch and turn it off. You know, it needs months to scale down and scale back up again. So they have a long-term contract. And people in the commercial world understand contracts. So people, you know, they appreciate the situation that Rio Tinto are in.
It does seem slightly anomalous that one company, yes, a major user, and we've known for many, many years the politics, commercial politics surrounding Rio Tinto and its electricity supply. But what are they paying? $35 per hour?
Look,
and the wholesale price is 10 times that? And there are other big users? So I'm not going to draw you into having Rio Tinto, but it is another question, isn't it, about the way the whole market is working?
Well, there's certainly a question about how the market works and the outcomes it produces. And for us, that comes down to, in a normal market, in a normal competitive market, competition, you know, puts downward pressure on price. And what we see is there's no downward pressure on price in New Zealand. What we see are generators can essentially charge whatever they like, and they'll turn generation off to keep the price high.
Let's look at what this means also for the future, because demand has been flat for many, many years. However, if we do see what the Climate Commission wants to happen and the government plans to happen, we are going to see a surge in electricity demand, some estimating by up to 40% as soon as the mid-2030s or the 2030s. This would happen particularly if you had electrification of much more of the transport fleet. Certainly those figures are being predicted by, say, mid-century. Talking to Genesis Energy's boss just last week, he says there is no issue with the ability to ramp up supply. The issue is backup in years like this. Now, if we can't back up at current levels of demand, how are we going to be able to back up when we've increased by 10, 20, 40%?
Well, I think the issue there fundamentally is we could back up now if the generators were willing to build more generation, but they're not, because that would lower price.
So that would be a question, isn't it? That is a question, that if we ramp up demand, it may actually be periodic anyway. It may peak at certain times and then perhaps be underutilised for 25% of the time. There's going to have to be a different attitude about how we manage electricity. And that may include maintaining excess supply potentially without price soaring.
Yeah.
Do you believe the current system is going to enable that to happen?
Well, the system is certainly capable of allowing that to happen. It's whether the right decisions are made by those who generate the electricity.
They're making commercial decisions. Many commercial operators, it's the only decision. What's the best decision for us, right? That's what their legal requirement is. And so my point is it going to be sustainable to achieve these ambitions with that structure in place?
Look, we have concerns from a major consumer point of view. Our concern, you'd characterise it as, the new generation will be built only when the demand has reached a certain level that they can continue to charge the prices they're currently charging. And the point I'd just like to make quickly is that this will flow at some point into the residential sector. So it's not just major electricity users who are purchasing on the wholesale market. The independent retailers are as well. So your independent electricity retailers that sell to households are currently buying electricity at $200 to $300 a megawatt hour, and they're selling it into households at the moment at around $160 to $170 a megawatt hour.
So they're running at a loss.
They're running at a loss. And so
we've seen some of them come and go, actually.
Yeah.
The last time this happened, they simply said, "This is, you know, we can't function like this." So all roads lead back again as to whether there is a fundamental flaw in the way this market operates.
Yeah, and that's something that we really want to see investigated.
How much time is there before we do start to lose, in the midst of the current and about to arrive upon us economic outflow from COVID, long supply chain delays, very high demand for certain inputs that are in short supply, How long have we got before we risk losing some of these key players?
It's hard to answer that specifically, but what I would say is if there aren't some strong signals coming out from regulators or government that action's going to be taken, then I think we'll be seeing further businesses fail in the coming months, in the next 12 months.
Thank you. John Harbutt is chair of the Major Electricity Users Group.